We're going to take a little break tonight from 2 Corinthians, since we're about at the halfway point. We're going to take a little break and look at the Psalms, Psalm 101. We're going to finish these Psalms one day. We've been hitting a few of them here and there for years now. We made it through 100 of them. We're two-thirds of the way through. We got 50 more to go. Maybe in the next 3 or 4 years we'll knock those out. But we'll hit a few here and there. Psalm 101, it's a relatively short psalm, so we're going to try to get through the whole thing, eight verses. Psalm 101, let's pray, and we'll get started. God, we come to you tonight, and I thank you that we have the freedom to come into your house. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for letting us be able to come together is a group called Enterprise Baptist Church. I pray that you just bless the time that we have tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us. I pray that your word would be good to us tonight, God, that we would rejoice in you, that we would see the words that are penned here, that we would take them to our heart, dear Lord, that we would be men and women of integrity, that we would not be swayed by the evil things that we encounter and the temptations of the world, and just forgive us where we fail in those areas. And I pray, God, tonight we would rejoice in your love and your justice and your mercy and your grace. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This is a Psalm of David, and it starts as this, Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of faithful love and justice. I will sing praise to you, Lord. Now, we see a lot of things that represent who God is. Who is God? We had a little mini-series on that about a year ago, and we looked at all these things that make up God, all these qualities that show us who God is. And one of the things that makes God God is that he is a loving God. God is love. He is full of love. Another thing that we see that makes God God is he is just. That is, God cannot allow evil to go unpunished. Evil has to be punished. If any judge is going to be a just judge, evil has to be punished. We see that in a very simple level in our world today. We understand that. We see people that do evil things and people that murder people or do other just horrible, atrocious things. We see them oftentimes go to trial, and a just judge will say, you have committed this crime, whatever it may be, and this is the proper punishment for justice to be served. Now, you wouldn't take someone who had taken the life of another person intentionally and then slap them on the wrist and say, that's a $50 fine. That's not justice. The punishment doesn't fit the crime. And so God is perfectly just in every way. And when God brings judgment, the punishment has to fit the crime. God is a gracious God, but God can't just give grace and not deal with justice. He has to do both. God is a gracious God, praise the Lord. He's a loving God, praise the Lord. But he's also a just God. And all of these qualities that make up God are all represented in God. You can't have one without the other. God can't just look at sinners and say, well, I'm just going to give them grace. Well, that grace comes at a cost, because justice has to be served, because the wages of sin is death. Now, that's bad news for you and I and everybody listening online. The wages of sin is death. We have sinned greatly in so many ways against God and continue to sin against God. And God says, what's the just punishment for that? The just punishment for that is that death has to occur. That's why we see in the Old Testament, we see all these animal sacrifices. But we see in Hebrews that the blood of goats and bulls was never going to be sufficient. A death had to occur that would be sufficient to bring justice for those who deserve death. And that death came through Jesus Christ. The justice that had to be carried out and fulfilled by God, who is a righteous judge, was placed on Jesus Christ. That he became death for us. That he took death for us. That he took punishment for us so that we could receive the grace of God. The grace of God is a beautiful thing, but it is not free. The grace of God comes through Jesus Christ. And what does David say? He says, I will sing a faithful love in justice. You really can't have one of those things without the other. You see both of those things in Jesus Christ. You see the justice that God demands carried out on the cross of Jesus Christ. But right there beside that justice, you see the love of God. You see the love of Jesus Christ, that Jesus says, I will give my life as a ransom for many. That God says, I will give my only begotten Son. That is love. And on the cross, we see the love of God and the justice of God carried out. And praise God that we can still experience that love and the justice of God today. If we don't know the love of Jesus Christ, then we can't sing and rejoice in the justice of God. Because if we don't know the love of Jesus Christ, one day we will stand in judgment before God. And we will experience the justice of God that we deserve. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ came. And in the love of God, our sins can be forgiven. The punishment that Jesus took on the cross, the death that He gave on our behalf, is sufficient to cover our sins because He was a perfect sacrifice. So today, if we are in Christ, then we can be as David. We can sing, we can rejoice of faithful love and justice. Because we have seen the justice of God fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We have seen the love of God fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and we have experienced that. And that's what we want the world to hear. We want the world to know of the grace of God. Or do we? We want God to forgive our sins, right? We've done some really horrible stuff. You've done stuff so bad that you just hope nobody in here knows about it. You just hope that the preacher don't bring up something that you've done. We've done horrible stuff and we don't dare want anybody to know that we've done it. But praise God, we are glad that God forgives us. Amen? Amen. That we go to God and we say, God, I have done the most horrible things and we have a hard time. We don't even want to think about them while we sit on these pews. They're so bad. And praise God that God forgives us and that He does not give us what we deserve. But if we would accept Jesus Christ, we can know that Jesus took what we deserve so that we can receive only what Jesus deserved. So we like that grace, right? But do we like other people to get that grace? Because we can see other people, we can see that they've done some bad stuff. I'm talking about bad stuff. Maybe worse than us. Maybe not. Maybe to us. But we see other people, we want justice to be served. But do we want that same justice to be served on us? Yeah, we want justice to be served, but you know what we should also want, I think, is the grace of God to be shown. That they would know the love of God. Now, that's not to say that there aren't consequences in this world, that there's not justice served in this world for the things that are done. But for all of eternity, what we should desire is for people to see the grace of God. But do we desire that? And the most evil people that we see in this world, do we desire that? Is there a part of us that really hopes that they get what they deserve? That they really get the punishment they deserve? And maybe they will in this world. But what about for all of eternity? If we've received the grace of God, if justice has been served on the cross for us, isn't the blood of Jesus Christ sufficient to cover not just our sins, but the sins of all who would come to Him? And so if we rejoice today and say, God, I rejoice in Your faithful love and in Your justice that was carried out on the cross, if we rejoice in that and we've experienced that grace, then shouldn't we want the world to experience that grace? Shouldn't that be what drives us as we go into the world and people sin against us and hurt us in so many horrible ways? Shouldn't that be what drives us to show them a little bit of compassion? To know that we're no better than they are? And you may say, hold up, I'm better than that person because I know they did X, Y, and Z. Well, guess what? Your sin is just as heinous in the eyes of God. Our sin is just as bad. Who are we to say that we deserve the grace of God and someone else doesn't? All of a sudden we take on the role of judge. That is not our role. We know if we've come to Christ, we have come before the one who will judge. And we have poured out our heart and we have said, God, I'm an evil, evil man. I'm an evil, evil woman. And God, I don't deserve Your love, but would You love me anyway? And what a horrible feeling it is when the guilt and shame of our sin is burdening us down and pressing us down. And we don't even want to dare go before God, but we boldly go before Him because who else can we go before? And we say, God, would you forgive me? And you feel the grace of God and the love of God. Is there any better feeling in the world? To know that we don't deserve it, but to know that Jesus Christ has given His life so that we can be forgiven. And the love of God that washes over us in our sins, is there any better feeling in the world? And how in the world can we experience that grace and decide for ourselves that others are not worthy of that? We need to experience the grace of God, and that needs to transform our life in such a way that we show that grace to other people. So we want to be those tonight who rejoice in the faithful love of God and the justice of God that was carried out in Jesus Christ, so that we will be those who praise the Lord. I said we was going to get through the whole thing. One verse is enough. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this good word. I pray that we'll just kind of soak this up and think about this tonight, God. Your love is good and your grace is good, but we know you're a just God. But God, I pray that if there is one that does not know Jesus Christ, that today they would know that Jesus Christ has given His life on the cross, that the punishment for our sin has been fulfilled in Him, that He has carried it out, that He has paid the price, dear Lord, that we can be forgiven. There is no greater love than that a man lay down his life for others, dear Lord. That's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us. So, dear Lord, I pray that each one of us in this room tonight is rejoicing in your justice and the love that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that we would soak up your grace and that we would live in your grace tonight. That we would rejoice in that, dear Lord. That we would not kid ourselves to think we are better than we are. That we are better than the other men or the other women that we see. Yeah, God, there's some evil stuff in this world, and we do some of it. And so, God, if we've experienced your grace and compassion, as hard as it may be, let us show that to others, dear Lord. That no matter how evil their sin may be, that they would know that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to forgive their sins, dear Lord, if they would just call out to Him, if they would just seek Him. Dear Lord, let us all praise you for your faithful love and your justice today, just as David did. And let us seek to lead the world to Jesus Christ so that they can rejoice in the same thing. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I got a couple tonight on our prayer list. Need to continue to pray for Mr. Paul. It's not really been any change. He's just kind of laying there. He's not doing good. His breathing, he's not breathing real strong. He's you know, unresponsive. He's still in the hospital. He can stay in the hospital till Friday. So we want to pray that the Lord would just give him rest and comfort and be with the family. Murray's been down there a lot. So obviously that family's been through a lot in the last few months. So we want to pray for Mr. Paul and pray for the rest of the family. We need to pray for Miss Corrine Haygood. I didn't know that she had been in the hospital. I just found that out. I went to see her today, and she's been having all kind of health problems, and her house flooded, had a pipe back up or something. I'm not sure. But anyway, she's had a rough go of it the last few weeks. So she was on a walker and moving slow. So y'all keep her in your prayers. Also, our neighbor down the road here, Mr. David Mathern, he got a bad report at the doctor. He'd been having some trouble with his prostate. And they're going to have to end up doing some treatment. They're going to start radiation, I think, next week, he said, is when they're going to start that. And so we want to pray for him, pray that those treatments will go good and that maybe they catch that and get it healed up. Pray that the Lord will heal it up. And I know he's a little nervous about it, so I know he'd appreciate y'all's prayers. So y'all, please be praying for him. I also had a call the other night from Miss Peggy Toller. She asked that we remember Dexter Butler. That's Donald's brother. Said he was having some health problems, wasn't doing good, and so she asked that we pray for him. Are there any other prayer requests or praise reports tonight?
I have one. I didn't put him on the prayer list. James Copeland had gallbladder surgery Monday, and I talked to him last night. He's doing great.
Good.
And we have a baby.
Yep, that's a good praise report. Yep, Cammy and Julio had a little baby. Okay. Miss Sandra Ravencraft told me the other day that her granddaughter Abby had, I don't remember what it was, but she had had some kind of surgery and she was down. She's not been able to work, and so whatever it is, we need to pray for her. All right, if there's no others, if anybody wants to pray, y'all are welcome to pray quietly or pray out loud if you'd like to, and I'll give y'all a little bit of time, and then I'll close us with prayer. God, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the freedom we have in this land to be able just to read your word and to gather together and just worship freely. I pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that do not have these freedoms. I pray that you would encourage them and comfort them and be with them as they seek to serve and worship you, even in some pretty bad circumstances. I pray that you just would watch over them, dear Lord. I pray for our nation that you would help us to be a people that would seek you. I know it's a lot goes on in this country that's not good, and I pray, God, that you just would start with us, that we would be a people that seek you and that we'd be a land that would seek you and that we would have leaders that would seek you, dear Lord. I pray that you would send revival on our land. I pray for Mr. Paul, dear Lord, that you give him rest, that you give him comfort, dear Lord. Just be with him and the family right now. I pray for Miss Corrine as she continues to recover from all of her illness and sickness she's been battling, that you would just encourage her and help her to get back on her feet. I pray for David that you would help him as he goes for these treatments. I pray that you bring healing to his body, that through this, dear Lord, that he would just know that you're with him and that you'd be an encouragement to him, dear Lord, and I pray that you just help him to get over this. I pray for Mr. Dexter Butler that you would help him with his health problems, that you just watch over him and his family. I pray for Mr. James Copeland as he recovers from his surgery, that he would have a good recovery. I pray for Danielle, dear Lord, as she continues to battle this, that you just be with her family and help them to know what decisions to make going forward. I pray that you bring healing to her body, and I just lift them up to you. I pray for Mr. David Dixon and his heart problems, that you would bring healing to him and be with his family, and I pray that you'd get him home soon. I pray for Robbie Bass, that with this mass that they found on his intestines, that God, you just would heal that you would encourage him, that you'd be with his body as he fights through this. Thank you for little baby Mateo that was born, and that all went well. I pray that you'd help him to grow healthy and be with Mama and Daddy and help them as they prepare for this new stage in life. God, that you just bless that family and protect them, and I just thank you for them. I pray for our service this Sunday, God, that you'd fill this place with folks, dear Lord, that would just come and experience your love, that you'd be with the song service and the Sunday school teachers, that you just bless our time together. Help me to know what words to preach, God. Let your Holy Spirit be in this place and lead us as a church, show us opportunities to serve, help us to be faithful in those opportunities, provide the needs that we have, God, to meet those opportunities and to continue to do the things that need to be done. We pray that you just would take care of all of our needs, dear Lord. I pray for our shoebox packing Saturday, that you would help us as we prepare, as people come in, that you just bless this day, that it would be a day of fun, that it would be a day that we rejoice in you, that it'd be a day that we get work done, that it would go smooth as can be, and that you just would bless these efforts and the boxes and the kids that are going to get them. I pray for our sleeping bag ministry as that approaches, that you would help things to go smooth there. I pray that you provide good parking for us and help us to be able to get set up easily and just be able to minister to the people and love on them and help us to have all the things that we need there to help that to be a successful day. And pray that you keep everybody safe and just be with us in these ministries. I pray that you give everybody a good week. Keep everybody safe and healthy. Bring us back here Sunday. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.